You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kinderman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. We're excited you've joined us for a message that was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. If this message blesses you, we'd like to know. Text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. All of us face difficulty in this life. The unexpected trial or tragedy, the sudden loss, the diagnosis we did not see coming, or we experience the slow wearing down of life. All of us need comfort at some point in life. Our God is the God of all comfort. He draws near to us to carry us through. Join us for this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
The God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 say this, the inspired word of God, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." You're going to see a theme here. God comforts us in all our affliction. Hands are already going here. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, the God of all comfort part is where we will be spending the bulk of our time today. But what comes at the very beginning? Blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word blessed here is in the aorist tense, meaning it's like a snapshot, like one frame of a motion picture. At once and for all, God blessed all of us in Christ in the heavenly realm. And we're experiencing those spiritual consequences in a good way now, because good decisions have consequences too. Why? Why is that? Because we have the empowerment and equipping of the Holy Spirit, which springboards us to be comforted in affliction. And in turn, we can now comfort others in affliction, comfort others that are in hardship. This is supernatural in nature, in case you need to know, because only God gets the glory for comforting us in our troubled soul, where we can then encourage and lift others up. I'm not sure if you've paid attention at all, but humanity, apart from Christ, is a very self-centered creature. Only the Holy Spirit propels you to do good works. Only the Holy Spirit buoys you to live a life for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. And what I love also here is this word blessed in the Greek means holy, set apart, hallowed. We know that elsewhere for the Lord's Prayer, right? Glorified. It's where we actually get the English word eulogy. At somebody's memorial, people get up and speak well of the person. So think of it this way. When we comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted, tongue twister there, we are actually speaking well of God. We are glorifying God. We are worshiping God. That flies in the face of just God and I. That's the relationship. It starts there, and then it goes forth to the ends of the earth, comforting those who need to be comforted. We are actually setting apart his name alone as great and unmatched and worthy to be praised when we encourage and comfort others. It's so essential for us to grasp the subject, because when we encourage others and fight for others' joy in Christ, when we spur on each other to finish our and their race well, it's actually really about the namesake of God. It's all about Jesus. Always about Jesus. Only about Jesus. It's about the hallowed be thy name part, like I talked about, when we encourage and comfort others. And I say this entire section of encouragement that we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this letter that Paul penned, the truth is, I'm submitting to you is that this is actually folded into worship. I want you to think of it as worship. Because when we encourage others, when we comfort others, that's an act of worship. It's at the same level of worship that we ascribe, and rightfully so, to cheerfully giving, as our wonderful Pastor Paul just talked about, zealously evangelizing, singing songs of praise to God in corporate worship, which we just did and we're commanded to do, hearing the word of God preached as you are now, each and every single Lord's Day. These are elements of worship. But again, adding to that list, fellowshipping with one another, and within that fellowship, comforting others with the strength that God has given you, that's a true act of worship. It's vibrant, radiant worship that is pleasing to God and edifying to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the words all comfort, the God of all comfort in this passage, actually comes from the ancient Greek word paraklesis, which is where we get the word paraclete, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit. We'll get to that later. And the idea behind this word for comfort in the New Testament is always more than just soothing sympathy. Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel badly for you, bud. It's more than that. It's more than just bystanding platitudes and pleasantries. It has this idea and biblical reality and foundation of strengthening, helping, serving, exhorting, making one another's faith strong. Comforting others with the comfort by which you are comforted. Exhorting, strengthening. But again, is that our doing? No. We are the mouthpieces. We are the conduits that God chooses to use in this area. And it's meant for others to find and experience true exhilarating joy and fulfilled freedom in our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the same comfort and joy and freedom that we have is purposed to be shared with others. And the idea behind this word comfort also means to make others into courageous warriors for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. Now, here is a quote from one of my favorite old dead guys. It didn't take long. Hailing from his native country, England, Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Pretty fired up about this guy. Here was a man, talking about the Apostle Paul, Spurgeon is, who never knew if he might be dead the next day. For his enemies were many and cruel and mighty, and yet he spent a great part of his time in life's work in praising and blessing God. I couldn't agree any more on this point with Sir Charles. Paul lived a life rifled and riddled with hardship, shipwrecked, abandoned, left for dead, deserted, hated by the people that he so loved. And with the same comfort he received, he instilled into others extravagant worship to our God, therefore, thereby comforting them. And that's a beautiful act of worship, a true, pleasing fragrance to the throne room of God. And what's encased in these verses is incredible, soul-soaring, heartfelt worship. Worship is more than just a song. We sing a song like that sometimes here, the heart of worship, where it's all about you, it's all about you. I bring you more than a song. And that's not diminishing the importance of a song, because singing to God is commanded, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. And I love it, even though I sound like a wounded hyena when I sing. But I love to make a joyful noise. But in any event, Paul faced dishonesty, disloyalty, ineptitude, sinful behaviors and patterns from this group of people that he loved so much. He was continually facing a recurrent physical ailment of significant sorts. People debate what that is, what that could be, but there was some sort of physical ailment. And as the Apostle Paul begins to pen this magnificent epistle, please fathom with me the insurmountable circumstances he had just undergone. He is just escaping from the most life-threatening, severe trouble imaginable, and he has just been wonderfully, gloriously, amazingly delivered by the Lord. And through this vortex of affliction and deep anguish, he remains intact with his love for his Lord and for a people that don't quite love him yet. Speaking the truth in love is what it means to comfort others. Maybe they don't want to hear it in the moment, but as long as you speak it in love, seasoned with salt, God's word goes forth and it shall not return void. You see, when we speak this truth in love to people, we are fulfilling God's command in comforting them. And if they don't receive it in the immediate moment, they may take it to heart and apply it to their lives later. The results are ultimately up to God, but we have a wonderful spiritual duty to come alongside fellow believers and comfort them in their troubled state. Now, verses 5 through 11. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from the deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. You see, up to this point, Paul was up against the fiercest opposition in government and the religious elite. They all wanted Paul's head on a silver platter. But here we read something absolutely staggering. The God of all comfort was comforting him. And as he was comforted, he was comforting others. Penning 13 glorious epistles that are in your New Testament canon of scripture. As he was comforted, he was comforting others. He experienced the worst of all circumstances, but still maintained joy in the midst of it all. How? Why? Because he knew the God of all comfort, and as he was comforted, he would comfort others, leading to a wildfire of faith to ensue and emanate from the transformed lives of the Corinthian church. Once a spiritually dead church has now become a vibrant, radiant, spiritually alive church, all because of the God of all comfort comforting Paul as he comforted the church. Paul never deviated from his duty. His duty was a true delight. He delighted in serving the church. He delighted in serving the people. He delighted in glorifying God by seeking out the needs of others and exhorting and praying and entreating and loving. Did he have doubts along the way? Yes. Did he have physical affliction on that side of eternity as he was writing and evangelizing? Absolutely. Because even the best of men are what? Men at best. Did he experience the sting of betrayal from people? Yes. Yet, he never deviated from the eternal task at hand. He was never despondent to the point of neglecting the high calling that God had called him to. God had called him for such a time as that, so that we could sit here on May 31st, 2026, in Port St. Lucie, Florida, that he had no clue would ever exist. And he's encouraging and he's comforting us now by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he counted the cost. He was more than content in all circumstances. Did he have moments of despair? Like I said, yeah, of course, sure, yes, yes. Did he feel deserted and abandoned? Yes, but never, ever destroyed. Never, ever counted in a manner that he would not live his life and lay it down for the sake of the advancement of the gospel and for the people at Corinth that he so deeply loved. He was in close proximity with the God of all comfort, and that buoyed him. That sustained him all of his days. As he was comforted, so he comforted others. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'm going to say it. That's why I have such a deep respect and reverence for men and women of God that stick it out for the long haul, for one place, one mission field. And of course, there's callings that God puts on your heart to move, and of course, but for the people that stick it out Pastor Sam's been quoting John MacArthur a lot the last 4 or 5 weeks. He served at his church for 56 years. That's almost unheard of, okay? Comforting others with the comfort by which he was comforted. Pastor Sam Chess, he's not here, 36 years here, comforting others with the comfort that he's been comforted. So maybe you don't know where you're supposed to be. Stay planted where God has called you now and comfort others. So mutual comforting, encouraging, consoling was a daily practice in the early church. Mutual affection for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ are transferable principles from generation to generation. This is how his church was first established and how it's been maintained all these years. You want to know what the secret sauce is? By the people of God living out the word of God to the glory of God. How profound would it be if we as his church endeavored each day to look for opportunity to find somebody to love, encourage, console, to have mutual affection for each other? I believe that the ripple effects would be felt in a mighty manner. Whether it's through the ministry of the word of God, exercising and utilizing our distinct spiritual gifts, we should be encouraging one another in true, heartfelt Christian worship. Each one of us has a distinct calling on our life to leverage our lives, our resources, the people that we know in our circle of influence for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. We should be bearing one another's burdens. As Paul puts it elsewhere, I love it in Galatians 6:10. I've always loved this verse. It's always caught me. We ought to do good to all, especially those in the household of faith. Meaning, should we love non-Christians? Of course. Should we pray for non-Christians? Of course. Should we share chicken wings with extra blue cheese with non-Christians? Of course. But there's a mutual affection with brothers and sisters that only happen with brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus says, right? You want to know who my brothers and my sisters are? My mothers and my fathers? Those who do the word of God. Of course, honor and love your biological family, of course. But the truest family in the truest sense of the word are people, the people of God that love God passionately and that you can comfort each other with the comfort by which you were comforted. That's worship. And I would dare say that none of us in this room would be here today without those people that God put in our life at some point in some way, and you knew that God had called that person into your life, whether it was forever or for a season or for a chapter. I can think of those men right now that I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for them. And of course, our wonderful senior pastor, Pastor Sam. In any event, this is the comfort chapter. I'll just say it because I know you're probably thinking it. Hence why I titled this sermon, The God of All Comfort. It's also important to note that in the span of verses 3 through 11 that we just read, in those 9 verses, I know you were counting, the word comfort or comforted was mentioned 10 times. So if you are already counting it in your head, how many times, and you're going to tell me after the service, I'm using the word comfort in the sermon, I'm just following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, just reading the word of God. That means this subject matter is of utmost significance to our God. And if you know much about the Apostle Paul, I'm sure like many of you, he is my primary hero of the faith. But my guess is comforter would probably not be the first descriptive word that you would give to him, that he's known for. Hard-nosed, yes. Writer of 13 glorious books in our New Testament, yes. Heralder of the truth in an uncompromised way. Yes. Wonderful, incredible, most famous missionary that's ever graced the planet Earth. Yes. Comforter? Maybe you wouldn't describe him as that. But I would say we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and that's all I see. Because he's speaking the truth in love. And I don't know about you today, but I can speak for me. The truth in love is one of the greatest gifts you'll ever experience. When someone loves you enough to speak the truth in love to you. Maybe it hurts the ego in the moment. Maybe your flesh riles up a little bit. How dare you talk to me that way? But if it's the truth in love and it's from a brother or sister that cares about you, maybe consider if there's any truth to it, Billy Graham used to say. Is there any truth to what they have to say? Of course, do it in love. Don't be the jerk. Oh, here's the truth you need to have. In love, seasoned with salt and pepper, if you're a pepper guy. I like pepper. But make sure it's the truth in love. Both are required. Both are commanded. Truth without love isn't love at all. And love without truth isn't love at all. Both. And that's what the Apostle Paul was really, really gifted at. You see, the God of all comfort comforts us so we may comfort others. And the word comfort here is a compound of the English word near and to call. So it means literally to call near. God is calling us near for such a time as this to comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted. And like I said, comforting can mean a lot of things, a variation of things. Exhorting, encouragement, prayer, inviting, entreating, loving, mourning with those who mourn, rejoicing with those who rejoice. All things commanded in Scripture. Yes, we hear the command elsewhere in Paul's letter to the Philippian church to work out our salvation with trembling. And Paul is also saying we must work out our joy, and in so doing, working and being active in all we do for the sake of others' joy. I know, kind of a weird way to put it, but that's what God's called us to. The whole point of comforting is to work it out for others' joy. I'll go to this screen now. Not others coasting into the easy breezy life, no. But working for and towards others' joy. Not circumstantial joy, not temporal joy, rather a firm foundation established with joy at the center of it all. You see, that is the chief end to comforting others, to see radical joy and extravagant worship produced in all we come into interaction with. There's an indelible mark on the God-cleansed soul that is meant to be shared with others. The God of all comfort provides and sustains a peace that passes all understanding and a joy that is supernatural and superabounding so that you may be a joy-filled conduit, and check out the best part, so that you and I can't claim glory or credit for it. God gets it. He uses us. And not only does he use us, he wants to use us. And not only does he want to use us, he delights in using us. He delights in it. Not because we're special, because he is. And he loves to see his children act in obedience to him. Joyful obedience to him. Not begrudging. Here are some other verses on the subject of comfort that I think would be helpful for us to consider and process together. Two examples in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Little flyby scriptures here. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. Psalm 94, verse 19. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the son of man who is made like grass? Isaiah 51, verse 12. And now the famous one, but the helper, some translations have the word comforter here, or paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do we catch this? As we are comforted and then in turn comfort others, it's only plausible because of the great comforter who indwells us and fills us and empowers us and emboldens us and equips us. Let's never be mistaken into thinking we are the ones doing the comforting. We are the ones doing the exhorting. We are the ones doing the equipping. No, it's the power of the Holy Ghost that resides in us. When you can step back from your life and go, I know I didn't do that. God, you did it. And you used me. And you used me mightily because it gave you great joy and it gave you great glory. I was just an obedient vessel, so you were pleased to use me. That's the best place to be. No sweeter place than I'm a conduit, I'm a mouthpiece. God, I'm your microphone. Shut me up when you need to. Let me talk when I need to with what you've called me to say. Not trying to be overly clever and cute, but this needs to be said at this time, or this doesn't need to be said at this time, which is just as, if not more, important. I know from experience.
We pause briefly to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The life of the Apostle Paul was filled with both great joy and great difficulty. Paul faced things we will never see. He leaned into Jesus for the comfort he needed. More, he comforted others. Because of what God did in his life, he could and did help others. If you have questions about the message, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send us comments, questions, or your prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
It's the Holy Spirit propelling and spurring us on to good works set forth for us to accomplish that he set forth. Did you catch that? For us to accomplish before the foundation of the world. I don't even fully understand that, the depths of that, but we're going to plumb it anyway. So if the power doesn't reside in us, quiz time in honor of Pastor Sam, where does it reside? We're going to have a picture that's going to show you. Well, I'm glad you asked. The power is in Christ. The power is in the Holy Scriptures. The power is in the blood. The power is in the Holy Spirit, who takes up residence in us and deposits great truth inside our souls. And in doing so, we are comforted. And now we can comfort others. Because check this out. No matter how mature you are in the faith, there's somebody, not in a braggadocious way, but there's somebody humbly who's more mature. And guess what? There's somebody who's less mature. So go to the person who's more mature and say, hey, I'd love to sit at your feet, so to speak. And I want to learn and I want to glean and I want to listen. And I want to hear what you have to say because I want to grow in my walk with God. And then you're going to turn to the person that's younger in the faith. And guess what? You can deposit great truth because of the Holy Spirit who resides in you. That's how the church is supposed to operate in clockwork fashion. And when that transpires, there is a never-ending, boundless presence and power available to us. How often? 24/7, 365. Open more than Walmart, all right? That is, the throne room of God is available 24/7. Even Walmart and Bucky's cannot compete. And when that transpires, the gates of hell are shaken to its very core. Why? Because the Church of Jesus Christ has unlocked the great mystery of the ages to comfort others how we were comforted, so that others may offer everlasting, perpetual worship as a sweet aroma and sacrifice of praise to God. That's glorifying to God. That is a sweet incense to God. Now, let's fast forward a few chapters to a very well-known pair of verses. 2 Corinthians 4:8 through 9. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then we're gonna get up a little down the road here, a few more verses in 17. This light momentary affliction, there's the word again, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So if God used affliction to purify Paul's faith, why are we expecting a less painful method? This is what God showed me. You're listening in, okay? God showed me that. God is refining and reshaping and pruning us for his own glory. Yet our God offers us a promise. Is it the cushy life? No. It's his eternal comfort that only he can provide. The world can have all of its possessions. We sang it earlier. Gold and silver, you can take it. They can have all the gold and silver in the world. They'll never have that unless they give their lives to Jesus. The peace that passes all understanding, the comfort by which we are comforted, we can comfort others, supernatural. Only God can do that. You want to live a life that is magnifying to our Creator, where you can hit the ribbon at the end of life and hear, well done, good and faithful servant, by comforting others with the comfort by which you are comforted. And I think somebody needs to hear this today. I needed to hear that this week because I was gleaning things from this chapter that I've never seen before, but it turns out it's been in the Bible the entire time. So our pain, our affliction, our trial, our hardship isn't meaningless. I'm not belittling it. I'm not saying it's trivial. I get it. Been there, done that. And a lot of you have experienced it a lot worse than me because you lived more years than me and you've lived tough lives. A lot of you have. I know. I only know a fraction of those stories. So you can really attest to being comforted with the comfort that he comforts, and then you can comfort other people. Some of you have more experience than others with that. And you can encourage others in the faith. It's meant to be woven into our Christian testimony to showcase to a lost and dying world that even in the midst of hardship and difficulty and thorns and thistles and speed bumps, that God is still sufficient and God is still enough. It's actually meant, trials and tribulations are meant to wean us from the world and its crooked desires. That's the point of it. And he works all things together for what? Our good and his glory for those that are called by his name, called by his eternal, uncompromising purpose. So when waves of sorrow have rolled in, maybe they're rolling in right now in your life, the God of all comfort has provided his perfect peace to rest on you. My prayer is that waves of gratitude would start crashing onto the shoreline of your life. And when that happens, you and I can overflow with gratitude and comfort others in their affliction. It makes me think of that beloved hymn, and rightfully so, "It is well with my soul." Spoiler alert, we'll sing that to close the service out. Here is a snapshot from that well-known beloved hymn that goes with this truth, that we are comforted by God so we may in turn comfort others through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But by way of context, the story of how this hymn came to be is staggering. This is a very condensed version. You can find more on Al Gore's World Wide Web, but I'm just trying to contemplate the unimaginable and unfathomable grief that must have overtaken the author who penned this song. He lost 4 young daughters in a beyond tragic shipwreck. 4. His wife was spared, but on the trip back, they crossed over those same waters, and the song that most of us, if not all of us, hold so tightly and dearly was then written. And it goes a little something like this. I'm not gonna sing, do not worry, I'll just say it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. It is well with my soul. It is indeed possible to renounce sin, to walk in holiness, and ultimately to please the Lord. But what I would submit to you this hour, what's required in that is a posture of humility to indeed be comforted by our God in our affliction so that we may in turn comfort others in deep anguish with a troubled soul. There is not one person in here that isn't going through a trial of some sorts. Some have asked me for prayer. Some have asked some of you for prayer, people that you're close with. Some maybe are keeping it close to the chest. Maybe it's financial stress, emotional distress, physical duress, a relational mess, but I want you to know today that God sees you and God knows you and God loves you and he knows everything about you and yet he still loves you the same. I don't know about you, but that is the greatest, most wildest truth in the entire world. As I just said that, God knows everything about you. God knows everything about me and yet loves me the same. And he doesn't relish or revel in your pain, but rather delights in growing you in a deeper devotion to him by learning to rely on him and trust him, even in the midst of darkest affliction. Your trials, first and foremost, bring you closer to God, but they also can be used to inspire others around you. What a sweet, encouraging providence God's people are to the Christian soul. My prayer is you would avail yourself to that. That you would have men and women of God around you that love you and that you love them. And there's a mutual tender affection for each other. And my belief, based on the word of God, is you will see your faith soar like never before as you wrap arms with other people and you do life together. You find your circle, if you will, and you do life together following the straight and narrow path until the day you meet Jesus face to face. I really believe that every saint, every believer, every Christian that's ever heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant," has a litany of people that have prayed for them along the way, and somebody that took on the joy of a task of caring for your burdens and lifting you out of the pit. I know I've been lifted out countless times. We all have that within us. You know why? It's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian in this room, even if you don't have the gift of exhortation, even if you don't have the gift of encouragement, you do have the gift of being chosen and plucked out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. And you can still comfort and console others with the comfort by which you were comforted. Our relationship with Jesus is in fact personal, yes, but at the same time, it's also very public, meaning a mutual affection and tenderness with other believers is necessary to make it to the ribbon, that final ribbon before you meet Jesus face to face. And I think of dear saints in my life, like I've mentioned, that I've crossed paths with, that I know without a shadow of a doubt, I wouldn't be here today without their godly influence or mentorship or friendship. We are commanded to not only be joyful, but to fully participate in other people's deep-rooted, Christ-centered joy. There we go. Ta-da. When your mind is saturated with the person and presence and power of Jesus Christ, there is internal joy that defies our external circumstances. Joy isn't informed by circumstances. Instead, joy ought to inform our circumstances and be the lens by which we see every challenge and obstacle in our path. So remember, 2 Corinthians 1:5-7 from earlier, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." Paraclesis, the Greek word ascribed to the Holy Spirit that I mentioned earlier, our great comforter and helper. It is all about closeness and proximity of relationship, meaning intimacy. It's the deepest connection and relationship that one can have. And if you're a Christian, you can agree with me on that. The closest relationship you'll ever have is by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for the glory and honor of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who has sealed you up for the last day. And we will meet him face to face, our Savior, our King, our Lord of all lords. And this intimacy is not consolation in the shallow, willy-nilly sense in which we use the word. Well, if it's any consolation, I'm suffering too. No, not making it about us, making it about God and others. Remember, eulogy, speaking well of others, building others up, that is worship to God. It is for the namesake of God. And what's amazing is it's rejoicing with those who rejoice. It's mourning with those who mourn, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Question time, another question. How can I receive salvation, healing, deliverance from others' suffering? Maybe in learning how to carry the cross through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can teach others how to carry theirs. But again, only God can do that. God gives you that story, and that story becomes a weapon, and that weapon attacks the pits of hell, and the pits of hell and the darkness, they don't get the final word. Jesus Christ does. So when we comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted, we're glorifying God. We're magnifying God. We're making much of God. And remember, the word comfort in the Greek literally means to call us near. So that's the wildest part of all of this. We are God's conduits and instruments in this great eternal plan laid out before the foundation of the world to accomplish his eternal ends. That's amazing. And not one of our troubles and afflictions are wasted. Each has had a blessing and purpose in my life. In the moment, maybe not. Ouch, ouch, no more, no more. I'll go to Africa as a missionary. No more. It's actually an invitation to know Jesus deeper so we can serve him better and love him more deeply and passionately and intimately. I think it was A.W. Tozer, old dead guy, that God can only use a man and can't use him until he breaks him first. We have to go through the deepest affliction and troubles. We don't want to. I'm not saying, jolly gee whiz, yeah, I love pain. No. But are we accepting it? Are we walking into it and saying, God, if this is the path that's required for me to grow in lockstep with you, that's what I want. Because without it, you'll never grow past where you are now. I will never grow past where I am now. If it's not more, ouch, 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 ouch. Remember, truth and love. But when you speak the truth in love, it comforts others with the comfort by which you are comforted. And now this is how Paul closes out 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verses 20 and 24. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, that we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. We are comforted so we may comfort others, so that we all may find extravagant and radical joy that the strongest winds can't tear down. Why? We have a sure fire, firm foundation in Christ, and God is calling each one of us to comfort others, exhort others, spur one another on, pray for each other, so that we may stand firm in the faith. This is a supernatural collective effort for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. Can you imagine that? If every single member of this church, if we live this out, not perfectly, because nobody's perfect besides the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we passionately, vibrantly, intentionally live this out, what would happen? Not just in our church, but in our community, in our world, in our businesses, in the restaurants that we go to, everywhere we go would be holy ground. And God uses our imperfections to make much of God. God gets the glory. When we are weak, he is made strong. Can we all just admit something? All of us. We all have weird quirks. We all have annoying qualities. We are all blinded to our own blind spots. And you see, that is the beauty of community. You love each other anyway. And you're patient with each other anyway. His word says to be patient with others' affliction. Rich, deep Christian community produces Christians who persevere, who are resilient, who are tough, tougher than a $2 steak. And we will stand blameless and faultless before the throne of God on that day, not because of our righteousness, but because of his being credited to our account. Martin Luther, great reformer, another dead guy. I haven't quoted one guy that's alive, by the way, all right, today, referred to this beautiful reality as the great exchange. Meaning this in layman's terms, our filthiness is no longer being held against us. And Christ's perfect righteousness is credited, applied to our account. So when the Father sees you, he doesn't see your sin, he sees Christ in you, who seals you. It's all by his grace and for his glory. And without it, we are out a 10-story building without a net. And the reason I share all of that is to say we are not meant to do this Christian life alone. That is one of Satan's greatest tactics and lies and schemes to make us believe we are alone. That nobody cares a lick about us. That God has abandoned ship and left you for dead and deserted you and shipwrecked your life. And where am I on this shoreline? I don't see anybody around. Let us never forget, Satan is at war because God is at work. God is so clearly at work in the lives of the people here. I know many of you, and the ones I don't know, if you're here, I'm sure God's working something magnificent in your life for his glory and for your joy and for your good, so that you may comfort others with the comfort by which you were comforted. I know I'm not allowed to say the word comfort for another week. I understand that. J.C. Ryle, another old dead guy, wherever we may be, whatever our circumstances, the Lord Jesus sees us. We are never beyond the reach of his care. My big question to close this service, land in the plane. Do you know this God of all comfort? Have you given your heart, body, mind, soul to him? A true, undivided heart of devotion. We each have a story we are meant to share with another person. We haven't gone through the ups and downs, the downright hardships in our lives just to keep it to ourselves, have we? No. Maybe you feel surrounded by all sides right now. Maybe you are trying to come up for air and you feel worn out from fighting to get to the surface. Finances, friendships, relationships, physical distress and pain. The weight of life is crushing you. And I'm here to tell you today, on this Lord's Day morning, May 31st, 2026, Port St. Lucie, Florida, 707 Kitterman Road, God sees you, God hears you, and he knows you by name. And I know we've heard that over and over, and it could become trite, but I want you to hear it like you've heard it for the first time. I want to hear it like I heard it for the first time. God sees you, God hears you, God knows you by name. He knows everything about you and yet still loves you the same, so that you may comfort others with the comfort by which you are comforted. Though it may look like you are surrounded by all sides by the encampment of the enemy, the God of angel armies is going to drive out the enemy even now within the sound of my voice, because the God of all comfort is present and is alive evermore. Paraclete, he's with you. He fills you, he indwells you, so that you may soar with joy and comfort. That'll not only impact your life for all of eternity, others. He binds up the brokenhearted. He provides rest for the weary, laden soul. So wherever you are in this, physical unrest, financial stress, relational mess, the God of all comfort is here to comfort you, so that you, therefore, may comfort others. The great balm of God's providential comfort is here in our midst right now. And let me speak over you now what I started off the sermon with, just the scripture. I don't think there's any better way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be, hallowed be, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are the God of all comfort, and you see us exactly where we are. And you know everything about us, and you still love us the same. But Lord, I also know that in a room like this, there are many, many, many that are struggling and suffering inside. And Lord, I pray that you would so supernaturally carry them even now, that your eternal purposes would crash down on their life right now, and that they would see you like they've never seen you before, that they would see you as the God of all comfort. That maybe even during this last song, how apropos, it is well with my soul, maybe some would even come to the front and come to you and ask for you to supernaturally fill the sails, for you to supernaturally employ your great, great comfort and help and guidance and eternal strength like never before. Also, Lord, I pray that maybe we would talk to those that are closest to us that love you. We would have a mutual affection for each other and consoling each other and mourning with those who mourn. That, Lord, we would live out this scripture. We would live out these verses. That we would comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted. And we thank you and we praise you for your holy word. We thank you for this morning's Lord's Day service. I thank you for the people of God singing praises of God to your glory and your honor. And I pray all these things by the empowerment of your Holy Spirit and for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. God is worthy of our trust, even in great difficulty. Our humble faith in Jesus as the Comforter can carry us through. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
When I was preparing this sermon entitled The God of All Comfort, God was really comforting me. That was the whole point of this, comforting me with the comfort by which I've been comforted to in turn comfort others. And we go to that scripture in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. I'll just reinforce it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. God comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And talking about that word blessed, it's the very first word in the scripture, and it means to be holy, set apart, hallowed, glorified, meaning that when we love others, when we care for others, when we serve others, when we uplift others, when we build others up, it's actually a worship act. It's actually a sweet, pleasing aroma unto the throne room of God. Because guess what, friends, brothers and sisters? We all have troubles. We all have trials. We all have tribulations. The question is, are we stewarding them for the glory of God? Meaning that nothing is wasted. If you are going through a hardship right now, I am not minimizing it by any stretch of the imagination. Whether it's physical, financial, emotional, relational, whatever the issue is, or anything, all of the above. God is with you. God does see you. God does love you. God does know you. And that's not a trivial statement. He does. So I'm not minimizing your pain, but I want you to know that your struggles, your pain, my struggles, my pain, are meant to be utilized for the glory of God and the eternal good of others. It's meant to uplift other people. Maybe your story is going to build somebody else up. That's been my experience in my life, that whatever I'm going through, whatever hardship I'm going through, I can now in turn, maybe it's years down the road, I can encourage somebody else and comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted. That is living out the gospel.
I appreciate Pastor Mitchell's message this past Sunday. And I got to tell you, I just appreciate the fact that God has just so blessed us here at Grace Emmanuel Church with capable men who share the word. And this hit home for me because I got to thinking about the fact that God comforts us. And there's so much more. It's not like God waits for us to be in a thing and he says, oh, they probably need it. God is always actively pursuing you and I. When you read the scriptures, you see that the plan for our salvation was made from eternity past, that God was watching and waiting. And Galatians says, at the fullness of time, at the exact right time, the ordained time, Jesus came, born of a virgin. He died on a cross and he rose again. He did that for our salvation. But then he put his Holy Spirit in us to comfort us, to cause us to walk in power and might. Here's the interesting thing. When we read the New Testament and we're given commands to comfort one another, love one another, forgive one another, those are active, present imperatives. They're commands, but they mean that we're supposed to be actively looking for opportunities to do this. You don't just sit and wait until somebody comes to you and has a problem so you can give them comfort. We should be walking around all day long, brothers and sisters, walking into our churches going, is there someone who I can comfort today? Is there someone that I can love? We should be seeking the opportunities to bring comfort to those who need it most. Why? Because we were comforted. Why? Because God loves us. He actively sought us out. So when you think about being comforted and comforting others, don't just sit and wait till somebody comes to you. Ask. Look for the opportunity. That's when God is glorified.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we approach you as the God of all comfort. We thank you for your supernatural provision. We thank you for your supernatural healing. We thank you for who you are and who you've put in our path to be ministered by and to minister to. So help us to joyfully, cheerfully, continually doing that, loving others as you have first loved us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to the program today. Is the God of comfort calling you today to surrender to his plan? Have you placed your faith in Jesus, who suffered to bring you comfort? If we can help, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. All of us are called to comfort others with the comfort we are given. This requires that we are in the lives of other believers, and that requires that we unite with a local church. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just west of US 1. For more information, please visit our website. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May the God of all comfort call you near to him this week. May he strengthen you to stand. May his strength and comfort be so great that you turn your eyes to those around you, bringing comfort to them. And please visit with us soon.
In Pastor Sam's book on spiritual warfare, What Scares Demons, Pastor Sam shows us that Jesus left heaven and came to this world as our Savior to forgive our sins. But Jesus also came to this world as a heavenly warrior to do fatal damage to Satan's kingdom of darkness. Jesus didn't just come to this earth to save us from sin. He came to save us from Satan. What you see and hear from demons when they come in contact with Jesus and scream out in fear in the Gospels should make you never fear them again in your life. The truth is, demons are scared to death of your God. They are scared to death of your Savior. And they are scared to death of you, a redeemed saint, and the presence of God that lives in you. They know something that they hope you will never find out. They know that all the power is on your side. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and they are scared to death of what you will do with your life when you figure that out. To get your copy of Spiritual Warfare, What Scares Demons, or any of Pastor Sam's other books, visit samchess.com for direct links to Amazon.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO.
A song that the angels can't sing. You saved my weary soul from all my sin and pain and suffering. The song of the redeemed I once was lost, but you found me. Oh, I have a song that the angels can't sing. I have a song.